said, we're in a two-week series on prayer as we continue to look at some of the basics of our faith that we need to grasp and understand if we're going to see lives transformed in and through us as a church. It's very fitting we're talking about prayer, particularly with Nick here talking about SRE, but also the news about Ian. Obviously, we encourage you to continue to keep being in our prayers. And obviously, as Madge said, very early days, still has a lot of scans to go. He's praying for the best outcome. We're going to join him in prayer for that. But obviously, a beloved member of our church, him and Debbie, please continue to keep them in your prayers at this difficult time. Let me pray for us as we come to this time now. Well, Father, as we do reflect on all that goes on in our lives, we thank you for the means by which we have to speak with you, to communicate with you. And as we reflect on some of the challenges of life, particularly that which is facing Ian and Debbie at this present time, but also SRE and everything else that goes on in our lives, we know and thank you that we can come before you with all this, knowing that you hear us and that you desire us to bring these things before you. And not just the challenging things in life, but the joyful things in life. And so we want to give you thanks and praise for the opportunity to come before you now, worship you, and come under your word. And I just pray again that, as was already prayed, that you would anoint my words, you would anoint my tongue, and bless this time in our service this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Well, I wonder if you've ever seen a magic trick performed and been struck by bewilderment or been baffled by what has taken place before you. I'm sure you've had that experience before. We've seen the magic take place and you're thinking, what on earth or how on earth have they done that? Well, just during the week, we took our kids to the city and something to do during the school holidays, went to the Maritime Museum, had a bit of fun in the city. And we, Malachi and I and Jakey, we saw a man dressed in gold, didn't we, boys? And here's a picture of him on the screen, and he was elevating. It was quite incredible. We were looking at him and we were like, what is going on here? How on earth is this guy doing this? If you go down to Circular Quay today, you probably see him. He appears to be around a fair lot. But it's quite incredible to see this, and it left you baffled and bewildered. How on earth is he managing to do this? Well, a quick Google search, you soon realize how he does it. You can do that in your own time if you want, but it's not that magical in real sense. But sometimes we see these things and we can be quite amazed. And I'm not sure if you remember this show in the 90s. I used to love this show in the 90s. It was called Breaking the Magician's Code, Magic's Biggest Secrets Finally Revealed. Anyone remember that show at all? Hands up. Yeah, it's a popular show back in the day. So I loved it as a kid because this magician used to wear a mask and that might be all mysterious. He would perform these magic tricks that left you baffled, and then they'll go behind the curtain or behind the scenes and you'd see how he does it. Not very magical at all, it would appear. So it was a great show that I used to love watching. But it's not until the magician takes you behind the curtain or behind the scenes that we come to understand how these tricks or these illusions are actually done. And prayer can seem a little bit like that, can't it? Prayer can seem a little bit mysterious and it can leave us thinking, oh, how does this actually take place? How does God actually answer our prayers? But we're going to be looking at prayer over the next 2 weeks, again, as we continue to explore these key aspects of our faith that we need to be living out. Again, as we've seen, if we're going to see lives transformed in our midst, if we are going to see our lives transformed into the very image of Jesus. But we cannot transform, a life cannot be transformed if it is not for the power of prayer. Amen? Do you believe it? Lives cannot be transformed in Jesus' name if you and I collectively and individually are not coming to God in prayer, because there's nothing more powerful in our lives than the power of prayer. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? And there's been some very godly people in my life who are just the most incredible prayers, and it's like they have this incredible insight into the kingdom of God that leaves you thinking, what do they have that I don't? Have you had that in your life where you just heard people pray or seen people pray and it's just incredible? What insight do they have that I don't? It's like they have these special glasses or lenses, like this boy on the screen, into another realm, into the realm of the kingdom of God. And that can leave you bewildered and, and baffled as well. I remember having that experience of a virtual reality game at Sega World back in Darling Harbour back in the day. Anyone remember Sega World? Good old Sega World that was around. And they had this virtual reality game that you could play, and it was incredible back then. I think it was the early 2000s or something, or the late 90s. I'm sure technology has transformed dramatically today. But even then, it was like you were taken into another dimension, another world altogether. And prayer can be a bit like that, can't it? It actually opens up the window, as it were, to the kingdom of God in incredible, incredible ways. That is why we have it, as we're going to look at it here today. And we've actually been granted a significant insight into the importance and the value of prayer through our Lord and Savior, Jesus himself. Amen? Because he was always praying. Amen? Jesus modeled this to us. He was a prayer. On the cross, as we celebrated and reflected on just recently over Easter, he prayed for his enemies, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Before he raised Lazarus from the dead, we read that he lifted up his eyes to heaven. Even before he was crucified in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed that God would take that cup from him. "Oh, my Father," he says, "if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as your will be done." Obviously, God did not answer his prayer in that particular moment. Before he fed the 5,000, he took the 5 loaves and fishes, gave thanks, broke it, and gave thanks. The Bible also tells us that mothers would bring their children to Jesus just for him to lay hands on them and to pray for them. Jesus was always praying. And if he felt the need to pray, and he's the Son of God, mind you, how much more ought we to be praying? Amen. How much more ought to be prioritizing prayer in our lives as well? Jesus was God, yet he prayed all the time, even through the night. And I'm sure we all agree prayer is something we need to prioritize in our lives, don't we? Prayer is valuable. Prayer is of importance. But you only come to prioritize something if you do see the value in something, amen? If you do regard it as something that is important. The question before us all today is prayer something that you value? Is it something that you prioritize in your life, in my life? Well, in my life, I've seen many incredible prayers, incredible answer to prayers in my particular life. 2 in particular that come to mind, which I've shared before. The quickest answer to the prayers I've ever had was when I was 16. I cried out in my room that God would bless me with someone to mentor me, to come alongside me in life, to teach me the ways of Jesus. And he did. 2 weeks later, I got a call from Rick, who spoke a few months ago, early in the year. And he rang me up and said, "Dan, God's laid it on my heart to hang out with you, to spend time with you." Quickest answer to prayer I've ever had in my life up until when I was a student pastor. And I remember in the job that I was fulfilling in my previous church, I didn't feel like it was equipping me for what I believed God was calling me into. And I didn't believe that I was exercising my capacity and my gifts and my abilities. And so I prayed one morning in my devotional times, "God, equip me for what you have coming. I don't think this role is doing that." That afternoon, my pastor called me in, asked me if I'd take on the role as interim associate pastor. That, to this day, is the quickest answer to prayer I have ever experienced in my life. Matter of hours, really. But you know, the key thing about those prayers is that I was entering into that very heartbeat of God, amen? His very will for my life. Of course he wants someone to walk and journey through me in life, to disciple me. Of course he wanted to equip me for ministry. I was entering or tapping into his very heartbeat for my life. But there have been many prayers that I've prayed that have been answered not so quickly. Some have taken years. Other prayers I'm still praying today, there are no signs of God answering just yet. But I'm sure you've been in the same boat. So what do we do with that? What do we do with that when God doesn't seem to be answering our prayers? But secondly, why is prayer so important? What is it at all? What do we mean when we talk about prayer? What is it exactly? Well, again, if we're going to see lives transforming in this place, if we're going to see people come into faith, if we're going to be maturing in our faith, then we need to be coming to God in prayer. Amen? If that vision is to be realized, then we need to be praying. And when we look at Jesus and when we look at the way he prayed, we see some important attributes, some important characteristics as to the purpose of prayer or why God has given us the means to pray to him. The first of those is that prayer initiates intimacy with God. Amen? Prayer is the very mechanism that allows us to enter into the space of being with him, sharing relationship with him. And on its simplest level, prayer is that conversation with God. That's what prayer is on its very simplest level, isn't it? It's just talking with God. There's no magic formula. It's just conversation. It's just being real with him, bringing our requests, our needs, our desires to him and allowing him to filter through whether they're actually his will for our lives. But prayer is how we enjoy fellowship with God. And I want you to think about the friends, the family, your spouse, those you share intimate relationships with. The question is it possible to have that sort of relationship with those people if you are not conversing with them? If you're not talking with them? The answer is no, isn't it? We can't have those kind of relationships if we're not spending time with these people, if we're not talking with them. If we don't talk with them or converse to them, obviously the relationship sours. It goes in a completely different direction. Well, it's the same with God. He's given us prayer so that we can talk with him, converse with him, discuss life with him. Prayer is what initiates intimacy with him. And I wonder what comes to mind for you when you hear that word, intimacy. For me, it's closeness. It's familiarity. It's warmth. Acceptance. Amen? This is the kind of relationship you and I can harvest or experience with our Creator God. But how on earth do we initiate this kind of relationship with him? Well, next week we're going to be looking more in depth into how we pray or what Jesus has taught us in terms of how we pray. Particularly the passage of reference is going to be Luke chapter 11. But what we see in this passage is the Lord's Prayer. And how does God or Jesus start the Lord's Prayer? He starts it with our Father in heaven. Holy is your name. And this word Father is key because this word Father, actually the word they use in the scriptures, the word Jesus uses, the Aramaic Abba, which is the address of a father to a child. It's the same word that Jesus cries out onto the cross. Abba, Father, why have you forsaken me? So in this word that Jesus used, we get an insight into the kind of intimate, close, familiar, acceptance kind of relationship that he shares with the Father in heaven. He says that we too can have that kind of relationship, amen? We too can enter into a kind of intimate relationship with God in that way, one that's close, familiar, warm, one in which we are accepted for who we are. Yet the issue is that we don't often do that, do we? We sometimes prioritize other things other than prayer. Yet we know that it's valuable. Yet we know that we're commanded to pray. Again, as the passage that Kim read out to us says, James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. There's the command there, pray, so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. We know it's important. We know we're meant to come before God in prayer. And we know, for those who have been in the church for many years, we know that this actually does initiate a relationship with God. So why don't we prioritize it? Why don't we pray? Why don't we spend time in our days scheduling it into our schedules? We'd rather watch TV or go to a movie sometimes than pray. But I truly believe that not just our church, but churches everywhere in the West, we've become apathetic when it comes to prayer. Amen? I believe we truly have, because I don't think we truly understand or we've grasped the power of prayer. And maybe one reason for that is because we haven't experienced what can happen when we pray. And that may go back to a lack of understanding about what prayer actually is or how we in fact do pray. So that's what we're going to be looking at today and next week, the importance of prayer in our lives. But I believe a big part of that is because we are always battling against ourselves. Amen. We're battling against our flesh, our sin, our rebellion, because our old selves want nothing to do with God. And so why would we spend time with someone we don't want anything to do with? And so we're in this constant battle of our flesh, but also our new selves, desiring to know Jesus more and more. But again, it's our sin that has taken us away from God. Ephesians 2, though, verse 12 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ." There's that imagery again of an intimate relationship that we can then share. It's almost as though God is just pulling us into his chest and embracing us. That's the kind of relationship again we can share, and he's brought that about, initiated that through his son's blood on the cross. We were once alienated from God because of our sin, but now we have been given the opportunity to reignite relationship with him again. But it works both ways, doesn't it? In life, when you have a fractured relationship, if one party forgives the other, the onus is still on the other person to then come back into that relationship, isn't it? It goes both ways. You can't just have one party forgive and the other one still not wanting anything to do with the other person. It's the same with our relationship with God, except we're the ones that we've rebelled. We've fractured the relationship. He's forgiven us. If you and I want to share that kind of intimate relationship with him, we are the ones that need to seek him out. Amen. This is what Jeremiah 29:13 says. If you seek me, you will find me if you seek me with all your heart. Jesus says a similar thing in Matthew 7. He says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." The question before all of us today is, do you want to knock? Do you want to take that step of faith and obedience and just knock and just, "God, I'm here. I want to harvest an intimate relationship with you, Lord. I want to know you deeper. I want to know you more, Lord. I'm scheduling this into my week, Lord, because I prioritize this. I value our relationship." Do you and I want to knock in the first place? Because Jesus says that if we do knock, the door will be opened every single time. Prayer unlocks the door to intimacy with Jesus. Amen. Intimacy that eventually leads to us learning, discovering, understanding more of who Jesus is, more of his ways, his characteristics, his will for our lives. And as we discover this, then and only then will we know what to pray for. And again, that's what we're going to dive into next week. So when we think about our closeness of relationship with God, how close do you feel to him right now, today? Are you in a pretty good place? Do you feel, the intimacy's there? Or do you feel distant to God today? If you are feeling distant, are you prioritizing prayer? Are you intentionally praying, or is it just a matter of ticking the box? You know, we can fall into that trap too, can't we? I know prayer's important. I'm just going to say a prayer today. I've done the tick the box. Prayer needs to be intentional, amen. And when we pray, not only is it important to initiate intimacy with God, not only does it do that, but the other thing that we realize when we come to him in prayer is that it actually demonstrates a dependence upon him. Amen. A dependence upon God as our Lord and Savior. It also demonstrates and reveals our faith in who He is. Prayer initiates intimacy. It also demonstrates dependence and faith. And when you think of relationships and intimate relationships, what are they ultimately built on at the end of the day? They're built on trust, amen? You cannot have an intimate relationship with someone if you do not trust them. And I want you to think of, in this moment now, two relationships that you share, one with someone you trust deeply. It might be your parents, it might be your spouse, it might be a close friend, and another relationship where you're struggling to trust somebody. Think about why you trust that particular person. Think about what has happened in the other relationship that has led to you not trusting them. Two relationships, one where you trust, one where you don't. My guess is that the person you trust has over time proven themselves to be trustworthy, amen? Proven themselves to you that they are faithful to you. Whereas the other person may well have been unfaithful. You can't trust them because of things they've said or that they have done. Prayer is there to help us discover and understand God more and more, what He is like. And as we initiate intimacy with Him over time, what we start to realize is that He can be trusted, amen? That He is a faithful God. Scriptures say it, but it's not until you experience it, you're like, yeah, God, You are faithful. You are trustworthy in my life. And so when those hardships in life come, when the challenges of life come, we can automatically go to Him knowing that He's a faithful, loving Father who desires what's best for us. Prayer is there to help us understand who He is more and more and help us realize that He is a faithful and trustworthy God. But what we also learn from Scripture is that God does not act unless humans play their part. Amen. How do we know that? Again, we see that from Jesus' life and teaching once again. When He goes to Nazareth, His hometown, not many miracles take place. Maybe a couple of people were healed because of their sicknesses. But why is that? Because they didn't depend upon Him. They didn't bring their sick and needy friends and family members to Him because they didn't believe who He was. And Jesus Himself was amazed at their lack of faith, Mark 6:6 says. Which again suggests that they just did not trust Him enough to heal the sick, the paralyzed in their lives. It is clear that an act of faith is required for God to act. Amen. Prayer is given to us so that God would move in our lives and in this world, and it requires us, you and I, as humans, as His beloved sons and daughters, to come before Him with prayer requests. Bring them before God in the first place. Now, the incredible miracles that Jesus performed, particularly the healing of the centurion's slave, but also the woman who had the hemorrhaging, the bleeding issue, both of them experienced the blessings of God because of their faith. The hemorrhaging woman in particular, all she believed needed to happen was to simply touch the very garment of Jesus for her to be healed. That's the kind of faith that God is after in our lives, amen. That's the kind of faith that we need to have when it comes to our prayer lives. God, all I know is I just got to come to You, knowing that doing this will initiate the relationship that You said we can have. Prayer demonstrates a reliance upon God and faith that He has the power to act. But does this mean that He's not in control? That He's not sovereign, that He relies upon us to get things sorted? No, of course not. Theologian Millard Erickson writes, prayer does not change what God has purposed to do. It is the means by which He accomplishes His end. It is vital then that prayer be uttered, for without it, the desired result will not come to pass. So when we're talking about praying for the challenges with SRE, for Ian, for these things. God cannot act unless we play our part. Amen. If prayers are not uttered, then he doesn't do anything because we lack faith that he can work wonders in our midst. So again, are you reliant on God? Do you trust his ability to act in this world and in your life? Because if we're not in partnership with God, if we're not depending upon him, if we do not have faith that he is at work in and through us and in and through us as a church, then of course we are not going to see incredible and radical things happen in our midst. Amen. If we're not coming together in prayer, as we're trying to do tonight, then there's no hope of anything changing in this place because we are not depending upon God. Amen. This is so important. And I hope that we can grasp the importance of prayer here today in terms of everything that we've already spoken about over the last couple of months, making disciples, seeing lives transformed, knowing God's word. It all comes down to prayer. Prayer interchanges with all these things. Not only that, but if we aren't dependent upon him in terms of our sin in our lives as well, then he won't listen to us. The psalmist in Psalm 66:18 says, "If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." So is there answers to prayer that you're seeking but haven't come forth yet? Have you been praying and just nothing happening? Maybe we need to sort of look within and say, is there any unrepented sin in my life that I need to repent of here today? As a church, corporately, is there any sin that we have committed in the past that we need to bring before God and ask forgiveness for in order to remove that blockage in terms of our prayer lives? Because again, we may think, well, that was done in the past, or any sin that's done in the past, I wasn't part of the church then. But when you become a member of this church, when you put your hand up and say, I'm here, we inherit the past, amen? That's our family too. Though they're not here, we become part of that history since 1908. And so collectively, as stewards of God's church here today, St. Susie Baptist Church, we may need to bring some things before him. And that needs to be the Spirit of God revealing that to us. And that's part of what we're going to be doing tonight at our Exalt Prayer and Worship Night. It's just coming before God, asking him to reveal any areas of our lives as a church that we have got wrong and that we need to repent of. So I encourage you, if you can come back tonight at 5 p.m., we're going to be coming before the Lord God in prayer. Because the reality is, as the psalmist goes on to say, Psalm 34:15, those who have repented hearts, those who are righteous and pursuing Jesus, it says the eyes of the Lord are on them. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. When we confess our sin, when we regret our sin, when we are repentant, that's the heart that God wants, amen? So we need to be reflecting upon that individually and collectively. The purpose of prayer is there to initiate intimacy with God. It's there to demonstrate reliance and dependence upon him. And finally, ultimately, number one, I believe, prayer is given to us. The purpose of prayer is so that the name of Jesus Christ would be glorified in our midst. Amen. In our lives and in this world, prayer is there so that the name of Jesus would be glorified within our lives, within the life of this world. But we can so easily fall into the trap of making prayer all about us. God, this is what I want. God, my agenda, my way. But that's not what God wants, amen? That's not the heart that he wants, because at the end of the day, it's not about what we want, it's about what he wants. And this is why Jesus starts the prayer, the prayer that he gives us in Luke, which we'll again come to look at tomorrow, next week, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, he says. We start with initiating intimacy. Father, God Almighty, your will be done, not mine. So whatever I say in this moment now, Lord, as I pray, if this is not your will, then please, Lord God, do not answer it. That's the heart that he wants. And again, that takes time to initiate that relationship with him. But ultimately, Prayer is given to us, and the purpose of prayer is to ensure that Jesus Christ remains at the forefront, front and center of our lives and of this church. Again, I get it's hard sometimes, particularly to prioritize corporate prayer. Sometimes life is busy. But if we're not prioritizing prayer, what does that say about our relationship with God as a church? It says that we don't prioritize God here, does it? It really does. When we don't come together in prayer corporately, it says to God, we actually aren't dependent upon you. We aren't actually reliant on the name of Jesus for things to happen here. That's what I would take if my people aren't coming together corporately to pray. Individually, we pray, and it's so good to see WhatsApp things come through and requests, and people are praying, but we need to come before God together if we want to see things change and transform here as a church. For the reality is, we are not our own. Paul recognized this, the prophet Jeremiah recognized this, and Paul said in 1 Corinthians, "Do you know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? Who is in you? Whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." Jeremiah says in verse 23, "Lord, I know that people's lives are not their own. It is not for them to direct their steps." We are not our own, amen. We are His. And this is a call again that for us, a growth area, we will prioritize prayer, yes, individually, but also collectively, corporately. And if you reflect on, again, those revivals that I spoke about a few weeks back, particularly the one in Asbury University in the States, they all came about on the back of prayer. People coming together, reliant, depending upon God for Him to work and transform. Every revival that has been and occurred in the history of the church came on the back of corporate prayer. Prayer is essential in building intimacy with God, demonstrating our dependence and faith in Him, but most importantly, it's all about glorifying the name of Jesus. Amen. So it's only fitting that we finish now with a time of prayer, and I want to encourage us to come before God now in prayer with the people around you, the person next to you, or the people around you, and just pray that we could harvest an intimate relationship with God, amen? In this moment now, yes, but moving forward, let's pray that we can initiate intimate relationship with Jesus. Let's pray together this morning that we can harvest an attitude where we're dependent upon Him, reliant on Him, not just for our lives, but for this church. And finally, in this moment now, let's pray that together, corporately, that we can continue to lift up and glorify the name of Jesus. Amen. So I'm going to invite others to come up if you can and just play. You just want to start playing the start of the next song. And then as he does that, I encourage you just to pray with the people around you and pray for those three things, that we would initiate intimacy with God, that we would come to rely on Him more and more, and that ultimately that His name would be glorified. Is that okay? So let's turn to people around you and just spend a few minutes praying, and then we'll sing one final song together.